We can disciple each other. We can spur each other on. We can encourage each other. We can and are an example to each other, aren't we? We can help rescue each other. That's what we can do. And I know parents often want the church to discipline or teach their children, the same as they want the schools to sort their kids out. They also want the church to sort them out in the Christian things. But children get most of what they know from their own parents and a certain amount from their friends. But what they actually, a lot of what they learn in life and how to behave, they learn from their parents. It's just the way it is, because they just see what you like. But parents often want the church to teach their children. And we can do a certain amount, but parents are the ones who have quite a lot of input. The church may teach forgiveness to the children. But if parents hold grudges and won't forgive, what do the children learn? Who are they learning from? I can say, you know what, you must forgive. But they see their parents not forgiving and holding grudges. Mixed messages. Who are they listening to? Well, my mum doesn't do that. My dad doesn't do that. You see? They learn from their parents. And parents may not want to resolve issues. Children see and learn from their parents. Church may teach, be grateful, be thankful, be grateful. That's what church will teach. Yeah, be thankful to God. But parents may always be grumbling and not satisfied and complaining about everything. What are the children learning? Do they learn that, oh yes, in church, for 10 minutes we learned that we must be grateful. For the rest of the time they're hearing, oh, did you see that? That school is hopeless. Da, 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 da. This is hopeless. The police this, the teacher this, you know, that government leader, that MP. You go on and on complaining about everything, but we must be grateful. Do you see? Mixed messages. We may say to children, you must be honest. You mustn't tell lies. But we, as parents, may live dishonest lives. Anyway, just getting the point across that our example is often more important than the words we say. Because if I say, you mustn't tell lies, and all they see is me telling lies, they're going to just pick up on that, aren't they? It's what they see. They copy what they see. We can tell people what to do, but they may need to change or go against what they may think is normal. That's normal behavior. It's what they see around them. I was saying, just telling a story this week about when we would go on a school trip and the kids would, and this is junior school kids, 7 or 8 year olds, we'd go in, we'd stop at the services. A load of the kids would go into the services, shoplift like anything, come out with pocketfuls of key rings. That's what they were like. It's because that's what they mixed with. It was not normalised. So to say, oh, you shouldn't steal, that's what they saw. I wouldn't say they were all like it, but I did see quite a few with handfuls of key rings. That it was meaningless to them. They did it because they could do it. We may say one thing and act another way. I bet their parents probably said you shouldn't steal, but they probably saw them shoplifting. But if we say one thing and do another, what will people call us? Hypocrites. Oh yeah. You say that, that's how you should do, and this is what you do. We need to think about our words and actions. When we see an influential leader or church person give up on their faith or do something wrong, what do we do? What do we feel? That's quite a blow to some of us, isn't it? You know, and why do they do it? But it can be quite a blow. You know, if you were, you know, if I were to do something particularly bad or whatever, I don't know what you'd think. You'd think, oh well, that's just Dave. Never mind. It wouldn't, would it? It wouldn't happen. You couldn't just go, oh well, that's Dave, or that stuff happens. You would be a bit like, that shouldn't happen. So our actions are very important. And if I did something, you know, bad like that, I can cause disillusionment to you. See, my actions can affect you. You can be disillusioned because of what I do. And part of our collective aim and purpose is to help, encourage, lead, and show by example following Jesus. We've got to help each other walk that walk together. That's what we do. Our job is also to restore one another when they trip up. So that's our job, is to walk the walk together, help each other, but also restore at that difficult time. We need perseverance. We need to be overcomers. And when I was looking at this, I was thinking about the when Jesus talked about the message where the farmer sows the seed, and some falls on hard ground, on a path, some falls on rocky ground, some goes amongst thorns, and some goes on good soil. And then the first one, it's like trampled by birds, and the second one is plants sprout and then they wither, and seed among thorns is choked. And we know the story, don't we? We kind of know that Bible story. And then and the seed is the word of God, and it goes like this. And those that walk along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. And then the next one, the one that falls on the rocky ground is the ones that receive the word with joy when they hear it. Oh, this is good. Yeah, I like this. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in times of testing, they fall away. And then the seed that falls amongst thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they get choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they don't mature. Everything else gets in their way of following Jesus. And in the end, but the seed that fell on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. A noble and good heart. It's interesting, isn't it? I kind of didn't even notice that before. Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, it says by persevering, produce a crop. It doesn't say it just happens. It says by persevering, it produce a good crop. You've got to persevere. You keep going. It's not like, well, here, it's easy. It just happens. When I see Dell, he has to persevere. And it's that kind of attitude, you have to keep going. The disciple, and then it's easy for us to categorize people into those groups. Well, I think they were one of those that fell on that ground, or they probably had a shallow root, or I think the cares of this world have taken them away. But that's Jesus paints a picture for us. It's very tricky for us to categorize people and pigeonhole people into one of those things, because the disciples themselves all sort of turned away at one point, didn't they? They actually, and you could say, see, they're not strong. Da da da. You know, when times of testing came, they fell away. But they didn't fully understand, and it's later on they suffered for Jesus. By then they'd sort of really grasped it. So we have to be careful. We don't necessarily say, well, they've had the word and they've fallen away. They're probably the ones that fell on the path, or they're the ones that were choked by the cares of this world. That's the end of that, because it's not as simple as that. And Jesus tells the story of the 99. We leave the 99 to go and rescue the one sheep. So it can be like that, but we have a place to rescue. We have a place to restore, to uphold. But we need wisdom in it all, don't we? Because we can be chasing people that not really are on the stony ground. So it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's a tricky one. There's no easy answer. We are. We just have to struggle on. James 5 says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner away from this error, from his error, will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Isn't that a lovely verse? Isn't that a restorative verse? I thought, you know, just looking through that, I thought, isn't God's grace wonderful? His forgiveness is wonderful. And these verses should encourage us. And we shouldn't give up on people too quickly. In fact, we can keep praying for people, because you never know. You never know. You might think, oh, well, I guess they're the ones that fell on the rocky ground, aren't they? You know, the word's gone to them. They went for a bit and then they faded out. But here it says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner away from his error will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." I think that's great. And then in John, Jesus talks to his own disciples and he's just given them a bit of a hard teaching. It's in John 6. You'd have to look it up yourself. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the disciples, the 12 disciples. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter said the right things there, didn't he? He knew that there was no other option. And I've kind of, sort of finished there, because I'm going to do what I did a few weeks back. And I'm going to try and get us to break into about 4 groups. And I'm going to have a little discussion and chat. And we're going to try and finish at least by on the hour. So, I don't know, can we get ourselves into 4 mixed, reasonable groups for the next 10-15 minutes? And I'm going to chuck you out a few little questions to get you to talk a little bit. I'm going to give you some questions. If you go off on a little tangent, don't worry too much. As long as you can... try not to talk too loud. Well, you can, but you know, I mean, there's 4 groups working here, so you can all join in and see what you can come up with in your little discussion times. Between you, think and try and give everyone opportunity to say things, yeah? Think of some reasons why people may stop following Jesus or fall away or stop going to church, whatever you want to describe it. Just think of reasons. Is that all right? Off you go then. Do you want another one? I think you probably run the one into the 2 anyway, because I was going to ask, have you had a faith challenging experience? But you've probably done that a bit yourself already, I would think. Have you witnessed or have anything that's helped you, you know, have you already discussed that as well? Because I don't know if you've had the, because we've sort of talked the negative, but what have you seen that's been helpful, you know, that's improved your faith or strengthened you or that kind of thing? Does that make sense? So like, what's been a faith changing, faith uplifting experiences? Just the last one now. Very briefly, do you have people that encourage you by either lifestyle or words? You may have already discussed it, but you might just a minute on that one. Then we'll call it a day. Do you have people that encourage you, like, you know, church people that you'd look to, by either lifestyle or words? So you look at their life and you think, you know, that's good, or the or words they speak to you that encourage you. So do you have people like that? Just briefly, we're almost finished. Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. Thank you that, you know, you do so much for us, even though we don't deserve what you do for us, that you You spoil us. You love us. You're so gracious to us. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you have done everything for us, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide us and lead us now as we go from here. Help us to help each other, to keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.